is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
The MDN studios. It is Thursday at 9:08 now, and it means it's time for the MGoBlog Roundtable, which is brought to you by Homeshore Lending. Homeshore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Now, here's the MGoBlog Roundtable.
All right. Straighten up, guys. Straighten up and fly right.
Straighten up.
Hey, by the way, I want you guys to know this, because I love this segment, and you are a part of the WTKA family. So I want you to know what you're getting
into.
Yes,
Craig, you are a radio personality.
Yes, Craig, you are a radio personality. You get emails calling you a radio personality. You can't get tweets.
They said I was the Millard Fillmore of radio personalities. Now,
that's not bad.
Well, I don't.
If they said William Henry Harrison, that would have been bad.
Okay, that's true.
But what are they getting at? Were they taking a shot at how old he is? What are they saying?
No, I just...
Did someone literally call you the
Millard? Yeah, they called me the Millard. And the Millard Fillmore part didn't freak me out. It was the local radio personality, which I didn't quite get. I mean... Sam is a local radio personality. I mean,
you're a local radio personality, Craig.
No, people know
you.
Yeah, you're a personality. Ed's not a personality.
Ed's not a personality.
So we have Brian Cook from MGoBlog. We have Craig Ross, writer of Michigan Books and a lawyer here in town. And then we have Ed Fang from the Power Rank, and things are really ramping up for you.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
Ed?
Been nuts.
All right.
New NFL predictions for everyone, for members this morning.
So, you know, we got a message. I want you guys to know what you're getting into before you continue with this segment. Because, you know, the NFL has this, this anthem controversy. And
Can you describe it to me?
Colin Kaepernick is now the front man for the Just Do It campaign for Nike. I put the question out yesterday. Will that affect your patronage of Nike? So, and in turn, your patronage of Michigan gear Nike emblem on it, or the Jumpman emblem on it. And, on Twitter yesterday, there was a move to boycott.
Yeah.
Michigan, to boycott the MDN, and to boycott WTKA.
Wow. Sam, can you please get that correct?
Excuse me. WTAK. WTAK. Oh.
But classic rock station in Huntsville, Alabama.
So apparently because of the...
I've always hated that station.
WTAK, she was like, what the hell, man? We didn't do anything. But point being, because of the Nike campaign, there's going to be a move to lower the ratings here and not listen. So before you continue, just know what you're getting into.
So the Russian bots can't spell? Is that what you're saying?
How would the ratings get any lower?
Our ratings are low. We do great.
I meant for our segment.
This segment is great, too.
Oh, okay.
Podcast numbers, great stream session numbers.
All right, well.
Yeah. So, but they might take a dip now because of
what about your poll?
I mean, I'm going to buy more Nike stuff.
I was already kind of boycotting Nike.
Why?
Because I don't wear, jock clothes, because that would be misleading. I'd be like, oh. Hey, look at my shoes. I'm cool, which is not true. So.
Well, but the thing about Brian is that he's so invested in Michigan, and that's just obvious to everyone, that he doesn't have to wear the clothes to make that
but
true, right? I've seen you in a hockey jersey once a year.
I don't wear it for other people. I wear Michigan gear because I love it, and I love Michigan. It's not about what they think. Put it this way. I have a shirt that I do not consider to be a positive fashion statement. Mm-hmm. Ira can attest to this because Ira said, I will not wear that. You know what shirt I'm talking about, Ira? And you remember that shirt I brought to your office? It was a couple weeks ago. And I brought this shirt on. You said, what is that? I said, yeah, I'm going to wear it to one of the Victor's lounges.
I remember the shirt. I can't forget it. It's ingrained in my eyes.
I am going to wear it because I love. I mean,
it's a very visual podcast.
Yeah, man, come on. It's so to me, it's about your love of the gear, your love of Michigan more than it is It just, I like it when other people like it too, but if they don't, to hell with it, as far as I'm concerned.
I only wear AFC Ann Arbor gear.
I mean, yeah. I want to wear a Screaming Brian Cook head, but he won't give me one.
He won't give me one either. You're not alone, Craig.
You guys ordered it. Everybody else got their shirts. What is wrong with you two that you didn't get your shirts?
I don't know. Maybe they wanted you to give them free shirts. It's a conspiracy.
You don't give free shirts to your friend?
Customer service.
No. Hey, I get stuff from Ed. Define friend.
You're amongst friends here.
Am I? Have we heard the show before, Sam?
That's what makes it fun. All right, so I'm glad we started off the show smiling. I'm glad we started off the show laughing because now we're about to talk about the game.
Sure.
All right, so, it's funny. I think it was, who did I run into this week? Mike Spath, he says, Sam, I was listening to you Monday. He said, I wanted to listen to you early. To see what tone you were setting for the show. And he said, man, listening to you, I was like, man, if he feels like that, then damn, all hope is lost. But it was just, reflecting upon the game.
Sure, yeah.
I know you guys felt the same, just your biggest takeaways from the contest. And what, if anything, you think it means for Michigan moving forward this season?
Well, I mean, obviously the tackles, I don't think anybody needs to elaborate on that. The second biggest takeaway for me is that the defensive tackles were very disappointing.
Yeah.
So... you hear all this hype about Mike Dwumfor, and then he hardly plays, and you're like, well, why isn't Dwumfor playing over Lo Marshall, who's, fifth-year senior, hasn't really done anything yet? And then you go over the tape, and on the first two plays that Dwumfor's in, he gets buried.
He gets turtled on the touchdown run.
And, that's something that did happen to Mo Hersey. He'd occasionally just go straight up field and get crunched like that when he was very young.
Mo Hersey never got turtled like that on a play that I can recall.
When he was just starting out, there were the occasional issues, but he had his moments in this game. He had a couple of pretty decent plays. Overall, did not look like a guy who was ready for prime time. And maybe that's Michigan playing a really good offensive line. We'll see how Notre Dame survives the loss of a couple first-round picks. But, he didn't get a whole lot of time. Aubrey Solomon didn't get a whole lot of time. It was a lot of Brian Monet. It was a lot of Lo Marshall. And those guys have their uses, but they're kind of filed in the just a guy pile.
Yeah.
And we were hoping to have
some
breakout years.
Yeah, some push, some penetration. Certainly
didn't really happen.
Yeah. That was certainly an issue. And Notre Dame, surprising to everyone. I mean, their first deep shot, their first fade ball was defended, but their next three shots they completed.
Yeah, and I was upset that they put Furbush in on third and forever, and they hit a 20-yard pass. But, I go back and I look at that, and Furbush is in pretty good position.
Yeah, he did a good job, actually.
And
not too bad.
There's just nothing anyone in the world would be able to do with that throw. And the first throw on Hill was similar, where Hill got beat and Hill interfered, and then the ball is placed so that the receiver has to dive away from the cornerback and still catch it. There's no intervention that sometimes you just get beat as a defense. And I thought, Wimbush had three of those throws. One of them got called back. And he also had three balls that he just punted up to nobody. And Michigan got one of those, and Michigan broke one of those up, and one of them was a touchdown. And the worst part about that is you go back and you look at the Hawkins incident, and it's not the ball getting ripped away from him. It's he puts his hands up, and he just deflects it to the receiver. And I'm like, God.
Wait, on the touchdown?
On the touchdown, he didn't have it ripped away. He just
it went through his hands, basically.
Yeah. Like if the receiver wasn't there, he would have popped it up behind him and it would have hit the ground harmlessly. But of course, the receiver was there. So.
But he did cover the play.
He covered the play well.
I wasn't down on Brad Hawkins. I was really encouraged by how, as the game went on, he seemed to settle in.
He actually didn't look out of place except on that first play. So Michigan. A lot of the stuff that happened to them in the first half was they were showing man coverage and running man coverage, and Notre Dame had prepared a lot of stuff for that. In the second half, they go to more zone and with two high safeties. And in that situation, you often have run responsibilities to the edge. So Hawkins was often coming up and finishing off plays for 3 yards or 2 yards or no yards. And he did that really well. And so, other than that play, I thought it was a pretty good debut. Yeah.
Let me put a positive spin on the game in a sort of bizarre way, perhaps. But, I mean, let's assume we don't get the personal foul call on Winovich, which I think was probably a pretty light personal foul call.
I was pretty peeved.
All right,
I don't think that call doesn't get made in the big house, and that's the problem with going on the road.
Yeah,
and then on the very next play, like
big hold,
LeVert Hill is tackled on the edge with like the offensive line has his hands around the shoulder pad. It should be an easy call every time. They don't call it. So,
yeah. So, but I mean, take out the really sort of bad personal foul call. That's 4 points. Take out the missed snap or catch of the snap on the field goal, and then add one play. If we have 2nd and 2 at the 2-yard line and we get sacked for an 8-yard loss, let's assume we just
third down. That was the Gentry play, right? Where he threw it. To
yeah,
the
and yeah.
Well, I mean, that's so, just Notre Dame.
All right,
a play,
so like, yeah, it was Notre Dame making a play, but so change one play in the game, really.
Sure.
And now that's 11 points. And it's the same game. It's the same game where our offensive tackles get beaten. It's the entire same game. And so to some extent, this is just more randomness, stuff that happens to you in closer games on the road. I mean, and so...
You know that's not going to cut it with...
I'm not saying it should, but
if you want to take a modern perspective on this game, I mean, this is what I said Thursday. Don't freak out if Michigan loses this game.
Yeah, you have
it
right.
Bad things happen on the road.
That's what you said.
You know, like, who thinks... I mean, we know Wimbush can't throw, and they actually schemed it pretty well. Like, if a guy can't complete a pass, just have him throw bombs up in the air. Hope for the best. And, I mean, there's nothing good to say about the offensive line, but I love what I saw out of Patterson, the accuracy which he threw the ball. I mean, obviously he made some mistakes in the second half, the interception he should have never thrown. But, I mean, if they can keep him healthy, like, what an upgrade that is from what we had last year. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and I agree with everything Craig said, I mean, I still just want that jump ball second touchdown that Notre Dame had back.
I guess my point in pointing out the Gentry ball is, to me, that was an example of a play. Notre Dame, they were able to make plays like that in the game, whereas, you know, Michigan's opportunity, they did not.
Well, there were a couple incidents where I don't think that Patterson really threw it up in the butt zone for Gentry. So, like, that was one of them. There was, I think, a 4th down, which was kind of similar, where he threw it in front of Gentry and also put it in a zone where safety could make a play. And in that one, you want Zach Gentry to be leaping up as far as he can leap and trying to make a catch well above the strike zone of a safety. And so I thought, like, he could have done better on those just to take advantage of his receiver's height.
So you felt like, did you chart the number of times they were in zone versus man in the second half versus the first half?
I haven't charted it, but it was, they went to much more zone in the second half. So anytime you have two high safeties, that's probably going to be a zone look, and Michigan ran that a majority of the time in the second half. So, like, they were getting rub routes and all kinds of stuff, and Notre Dame was really precise with them, where they were clearly rubbing Michigan's cornerbacks, but in a legal fashion, so I think they probably repped that quite a bit. So, you know, they did a good job with that. They did a good job with, I mean, Wimbush hit some throws that, I don't know, if that's, I mean, Wimbush did that last year, like, that was a strength of his, hitting those kind of throws, but I kind of feel like, you know, you ask him to hit those again and it's not going to go as well.
Yeah, you know, you look in the second half, I'm sure he'll point out to his coaches, you know, I had that touchdown call back. And then he had the play, you know, where you had Mac again. It wasn't Furbush this time, it was Uche, where he gets behind Uche this time and Mac drops it.
So that's actually a good example of, so that throw was a good throw, but it wasn't away from the defensive back. So on the first couple that he hit, there was nothing any defensive back could do. On that one, Uche actually is able to grab the arm of Mac and pull it back momentarily. And that actually causes the drop. So there's a big difference between that, which gives the defender an opportunity to make a play, and some of the other ones where it's just like you win. So I thought, you know, it was a good day for Brandon Wimbush.
734-998-1050. Tweet us at Michigan Insider. Email us at studio@wtk.com. Let's go to the phones. Get Don in Ann Arbor in. Don, what's up?
Good morning. There's a very interesting article up on NGRO blog right now that says that Michigan coaching staff was very aware of the deficiency at left tackle and that they specifically schemed through much of the game to try to mitigate those problems and sort of scheme away from those problems without much success, obviously. But I'm curious, Brian, if you could elucidate on that. And then do you think it means that it's now time to move to a younger, perhaps more talented player at that position and just go with whatever lumps you get from the inexperience? Thanks.
So that's accurate. That's a Seth article, Seth, but yeah. I co-sign it. Michigan, you know, all those waggles in the first half where they were running waggle from the gun and they had those comebacks and stuff, that was effective, but it's also like, all right, well, we don't have to get any blocking from our left tackle on this one. And, you know, actually that second and two from second goal from the two.
Two, yeah.
Was like the first really bad pass protection incident, and that was very bad, but they had managed to, like, not involve the tackles very much at all to that point. So maybe they thought they could get away with it. They could not. So you have that first half where basically everything is trying to mitigate. And the problem with that is that once Notre Dame realizes that and they make some halftime adjustments, you have to move on to something else. And if your pass protection is that bad, it's tough to move on to something else because you don't have it. And that's something that we've seen far too frequently in recent Michigan offenses where they have
years.
Yeah, they have, like, some stuff they can do, and then as soon as the opposition is like, all right, this is what they're doing, let's see if they can do some other stuff, the answer is no. And, you know, it's as far as moving on to another tackle, honestly, I didn't think Runyon was as bad as I did live. Like, he did make some blocks. He was okay in the run game sometimes, and, like, it was more plausible to me that this guy was seen as the best left tackle you had through fall camp. I still think that, you know, if it was me, I'm just going with James Hudson and we're going to see where it takes us because he's actually a tackle and Runyon's a guard. So
what do you think about Bushel Beatty on the right side?
You know, Bushel Beatty, oddly, they didn't really use him that much in the run game. So Michigan ran a lot of zone, and in that situation, it's kind of like, you know, the defense is telling you which blocks you're going to test. And so they would slant to the right side of the line, and then the running back cuts back, and then it's about Runyon if he can make that block on the backside, which he did sometimes. But, you know, Bushel Beatty gave up a lot of pressures. It was especially like things only got really bad late. So Michigan's down two touchdowns. You know that they've got to pass and try to catch up. And so at that point, that's when they really tee off. And it was only until the fourth quarter where you got that kind of deluge.
Yeah, so, you know, you pointed out the, and I know we got to get to a break, that their second and goal.
Second goal from the two.
From the two, and that play action, and it's just...
It was bad.
It was bad, but even before that, so the, you know, the play where they're driving, I think it was this, was it their Michigan second drive, they're getting the field goal range.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
the
stunt gets
them. I looked at this a lot, and I know Pro Football Focus charges this to Runyon. I was kind of like, I don't know what he's supposed to do there, because, you know, Bredesen sets up, and I think he sets up too far from Runyon. And then Runyon's got a guy coming inside of him. He needs to pass him off. He knows this. And he does try to get out late, but he can't pass the guy off because Bredesen isn't in position to get that guy. So he's really picking which guy to let through. And I also felt like it's like a third and four or something. Shea has to get rid of it. Yeah. They drop a linebacker right into Gentry's route. And he's got to come off that. He has Peoples Jones, and he can get that ball out. But he's just locked into Gentry, or he moves on to Perry. He doesn't like that enough. And, like, he needs to get that ball out. When you have a guy who's looping all the way around from a nose tackle position getting to the quarterback on third and four, that's on the quarterback.
Which, and then at the end of the game, you know, hit their last offensive possession. There was another stunt.
Yeah, and sometimes those are going to get through. I thought, you know, Michigan did a better job at it. This like, you could see that they at least knew what they were supposed to be doing, which was not always the case last time. They just didn't have the step-by-step precision to execute it. And that's something that's going to take some time.
All right, let's get to a break. We'll get back into it on the other side. What does this mean? What do you guys think that game means? What does it portend for the Wolverines in 2018? If you're reading anything at all into the, you know, the long-term sort of impact of that.
It's time for more of the MGO Blog Roundtable here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, brought to you by Home Shore Lending. Home Shore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. MGO Blog Roundtable, Ed Fang, Brian Cook, of course, Craig Ross, and you know, we didn't touch on really quickly, just a lot of talk. We talked about the interior defensive line. What about the interior offensive line, guys?
Well, I thought Craig wanted to respond to your question from before.
That's going to pick up where we are in our chat, and then we'll get to what it means moving forward, because this is another part of the what does it mean question, because coming out of that game, I know Mike Spath, who follows us on Inside the Huddle, his you know, take was play Caesar at guard and play Spinellis at center. I understand the you know, thought process there of wanting to address some of the inside issues that Michigan has, and certainly I'll acknowledge with Caesar that it wasn't a great day, to say the least, but it was his first start. And so if you are...
It wasn't his first start.
His first start at center, I mean.
Did he play any center last year? He played guard. Yeah.
And so you're arguably your best athlete, and his first start at center, and this is what you expect. You expect some struggle from a young guy. Like, if you were to play James Hudson or Mayfield, I would expect him to have struggles like that. So let him play through that for a bit versus, you know, if you look at Mike next to him, Mike has played a lot. If you are going to try to change
that
dynamic inside, then I would say Spinellis.
I mean, they didn't get many rushing yards, but I don't necessarily think that that was because the interior offensive line wasn't doing their job. So I thought tactically this was not a great performance for Michigan's offense. Like, they had a lot of those zone read plays where you're not really reading anybody. And
you got to explain what you mean by that. What you're saying is the quarterback wasn't
so never pulls.
Yeah, if the quarterback never runs and isn't even in a position where it's reasonable for him to pull the ball, then you don't get that extra blocker. So there was Notre Dame was running a pin and pull where they would option off like the last guy, and it was not a zone read. Like, it was not a read. It was just one play, but you use your quarterback as a threat and you hold up that guy. Uh-huh. And that's critical if you're going to run from the spread, because you have fewer guys, so the extra guy that's always in the box is closer to the running back and can get there and do more damage. So Michigan was not effectively doing that, because Shea didn't pull once. And even some of the design of the plays, it wasn't a threat that he would pull. So you just have that extra guy who gets to be a free runner. And a couple of times, that was the reason that Michigan got a two-yard gain. It's because there's an unblocked guy running at the running back.
Which is why you heard me say this week, maybe if this is how it's going to be, maybe one of the adjustments is, like we saw last year, they decide, all right, we're going to line up, we're going to just gap people.
So they did this last year. They come into the year and they're like, we're a zone team. And then they're like, oh, we're terrible at this. let's try the gap stuff. And the gap stuff works really well. And then they can do some more zone stuff. And it's like, oh, this is a bit of a change up now. We're a gap team, and now the zone works better because nobody's prepping exclusively to run zone against us. This year, they come out, and they're like, they're a little bit of a different zone team, where they're tight zone, which means they get the long doubles, and they're not doing the thing where they run by a guy they absolutely have to block on the first level. But I'm like, dude, you have Caesar Ruiz, you have Mike Onwenu, you have Juwan Bushel-Beatty.
Sounds like gap to me.
Run power.
Yeah, sounds like power. Gap.
Run power. You did it last year, and it worked pretty well. Like, just mash some guys off the ball, pull Ben Bredesen around, and be like, all right, guys, you can try to hold up against 700 pounds of thunder.
This is coming from a guy who is not a man ball guy, right?
Well,
I mean, you got to play your personnel, right?
If you got... Stanford out there.
I'm wearing a Michigan shirt, so it's not man ball.
But I don't know how you look at this offensive line and you're like, let's zone these babies. Like, I know it's a little bit different when you have a guy like Warner who's had some big guys at Ohio State and zoned effectively with them, but I'm just like, man, it felt like last year you figured out what you were halfway through the year and that worked really well. And now you're just like, nah, we're not gonna do that anymore. Yeah. So what are you looking at these guys and being like, let's do the balletic dance of Inside Zone. Instead of like, let's power these people on the line of scrimmage.
We know it's in the arsenal, and maybe again, if this is what it's going to be, if this is the going to be the composition of things, then maybe that's one of the ways that you coach around some of the deficiencies. We'll see. But that gets to my question, guys. So starting with you, Craig, what do you think this game, this Notre Dame game, means moving forward for Michigan?
Well, I was thinking while we were on the break of an analogy of sorts, and here's what I think. I think Michigan football's become as menacing as Trotsky drinking Corona and having sex with Frida Kahlo in Mexico City. But it's still not good enough. The Stalinists are going to kill him anyway. And so Ohio State, Michigan State, the Stalinists don't care that Trotsky is ineffectual, sitting in Mexico City drinking beer. They're going to kill him anyway, and they do. That's what I think is the future. Does that have any meaning?
No. I know what you are talking about.
Really?
Yes, of course. I understand that this is an event in history, and I get you, Craig Ross. Nobody else will.
All right, but I'm done.
I don't think we understand what he's getting to.
What he's getting to is, you know, I referenced this in my post on Urban Meyer. Is the scene in, like, the Two Towers where the king's like, what can men do against such reckless hate? Does that make more sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. A little bit?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings guy, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone that was obvious.
No. Look, man, I was on here last week, or earlier this week, talking about MAs, and one of my esteemed colleagues, I love Bonnie. She came in, and I don't know what an MA is. And I was talking to my husband. He didn't know what an MA was, and you kept talking about MAs.
Are you saying Mr. Simon?
Yes, okay. Exactly. So let's be clear with some of the reference, clearer with some of the references.
Then. Yeah. Well, okay. That's it was only one of the most popular movies of all time.
But I hear you.
Let's explain it.
I hear you.
Guys, it's a week one tradition in college football to freak out about whatever just happened to your team. And
unless you won, which would have been nice.
Well, we beat Florida last year, and we're like, hey, everything looks good. Who cares about the right side of the offensive line? We're going to have a great season.
Well, the quarterback did throw two pick sixes, like, in a row. So
yeah, but you could forget that when you win by, you know, however many they won by, right?
I don't remember.
So right now, Hawaii's a top 25 team, and Florida State stinks, and Miami's terrible, and these things are
Miami
all probably
was,
true.
I think horribly overrated.
Joey
Burrow did not have a great game, and they still won that game going away. I don't know what this is about.
I mean, if you look at the box score, it doesn't make sense that's a blowout. Like, true. Yardage is close, first downs are close. Like, I think that was deceiving.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's not that. I agree with you, Sam, that they're overrated, but, I don't think that game is reflective. But anyways, I mean, the thing I'm looking forward to, looking through the season, I mean, maybe Notre Dame's a top five team. Like, if they pound Stanford in a couple weeks...
Yeah. They're not
like
a top
that's
five.
Gonna
they're
put
not
like
a top five.
They're
team.
Not because I don't think Wimbush can. I mean, he's a good runner, but I just don't see him being able to pass the ball well enough to win. You know, to win.
Maybe not. But if they beat Stanford at home within this next month, I think we're and I think last year with Michigan, like I thought the Cincinnati and Air Force games were really like, oh my God, we're not destroying these teams. Like there's something wrong here. So if we go through these next two games and do what we're supposed to do against Western and SMU. It's just 1 week.
Let's play
it out towards the season. And
I agree. I don't think that it's panic time. I agree that Notre Dame is a good team. I don't think they're a top five team. But I think they're a good football team. I think Michigan had some opportunities that they didn't take advantage of. And so for me, as I look at this offensive line, I came into the season thinking that's the biggest question mark. I leave this game thinking that's the biggest question
Unquestionably.
Mark. And so now I didn't buy, you know, Jim is the type that as we've come to know him, as I've come to know him, he's not going to get in front of us, the media, and say
anything bad about his team.
Anything bad about his team. I don't think that what he said at the press conference on Monday is indicative of how he is addressing. I don't think the lack of candor with us is indicative of a lack of candor with his team. I think that they are looking at you know, position battles and possible alternatives. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't definitely see the same crew. We might see the same offensive line, but if we do, it's like we said, all right, so are you gonna gap teams more? Are you gonna put Shea on the move more? Are you gonna do more things to compensate some of the deficiencies that we saw on Saturday? Because if that part of the game does not improve, then they will lose three or four more games. That part of the game absolutely has to get better. I'm convinced they'll change personnel or they'll change, you know, strategy and compensate it for it one of those ways. Compensate for the deficiencies one of those ways.
I mean, at this point, I'm like, let's throw in a redshirt freshman and see how that goes.
Because it can't be. I mean, if you're going to, and that's kind of my point. If you're going to have older guys having MAs.
Right.
Then
that's a missed assignment.
Then, you know, I could get an MA from a young guy that has more talent, more upside, who can possibly learn more from the MAs because through experience, he's the only way to get experience is to get experience, right?
What did Harbaugh mean when he said the offensive line checked a lot of boxes?
Did they have a check sheet on the sideline where they could just go?
I'm not even sure what he meant. I wouldn't even try to parse what he said about the offensive line. I do think
they looked more organized. They knew what they were supposed to do. They weren't able to do it as much as they wanted to.
He is not going to get in front of the media and say, hey, this guy had a bad game. This guy can't perform. We're looking at possibly playing his replacement. Or, hey, we might have to coach around this guy. He's not going to say any of that. He's not going to say any of that.
I mean, he's already said it with the game planning against Notre Dame. They were coaching around their tackles.
They absolutely were. I mean, they didn't pass block that entire first drive, right?
The first half, they barely pass blocked. Like, they had a little bit of quick game stuff, and that would require a little bit. And they tried, like, one shot downfield that didn't come off because he got pressure. And it was really, the guy didn't have very many pass protection check marks in that first half. Not because they weren't executing, because they weren't even trying. So that's where it is. The game plan tells you what they think about their tackles.
Yep.
734-998-1050. Tweet us at Michigan Insider. Email us at studio@wtk.com.
No calls from the Stasi or the NKVD.
Someone please call Craig on his
Let's not encourage him. That's
I'm not sure how good our listenership is in Siberia. So
we got to get to a break. Back on the other side here of the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. So, guys, Michigan back at it Saturday noon against Western Michigan. Your thoughts on the Broncos, starting with you, Brian.
They gave up 55 to Syracuse, so I hope we can score 10. 17. I'm sorry. We scored 10 against Notre Dame, so 17 would be a good goal.
Yeah, no, 55 is a good goal. I mean, Western Michigan had one of the weirdest stat lines where they almost had 10 yards of play, yet were 2
Didn't
for 10.
Did each running back rush for 10 yards of carry or something like that, Steve said?
Something crazy, but they were 2 for 10 on third down. So they had a bunch of big plays that really pushed their yardage average up. The game was over apparently at halftime. Syracuse was up pretty big, and Western Michigan pulled off some big plays. If you are a good team, you are supposed to pound the crap out of these little teams. So that's what Michigan needs to do Saturday.
Yeah.
See if they can do it.
I mean, it seems like a good week to see if maybe they can get reorganized on the offensive line, because I don't think Western's going to pose much of a defensive threat. Same for the following week. I believe SMU gave up 46 to North Texas State, something like that.
Isn't that the team from Unnecessary Roughness?
It was North Texas. I don't know if it was North Texas State.
North Texas State does not exist in the real world.
It doesn't.
There's North Texas, and then there's Texas State. I think North Texas State is literally the armadillos from Unnecessary Roughness.
All right. Well, it was against the armadillos. I'll put up 46 against them in any event.
Best kicker in the history of kickers.
So, I mean, I think, you know, there's an opportunity here to get more organized, but whether that's going to make any difference, I don't know. I mean, it's also an opportunity to perhaps try younger guys and see how they do. But
You hope that the game is like that, right?
Yeah.
Where you can get a lot of guys in some in some snaps for an extended period to really get a feel for, or to help make them more viable as
right.
as options.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That is, you know, maybe we can begin to grow something within the program. But I mean, we're gonna obviously. I don't know how you. You know, I heard a lot of complaining about play calling, but I don't know how you can really do much if your tackles can't do it.
Dance with who brung you, and if who brung you is not that great.
Well, Vegas still believes in Michigan. They were 26.5-point favorites earlier. It's up to 28.
Well, so the public is
Yeehaw. Is
hitting us. Yeah, it's hard to get, but you know,
the public doesn't come until Saturday morning, Craig.
Is that right?
It's not the public.
So it's the sharps hitting it.
Early, this early in the week, yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know. I mean, I guess the other question is, what does this mean? I mean, are Michigan fans going to get motivated, excited until the Nebraska? Maybe if they win the next 2 weeks and.
No, God, no.
So when will that happen? Will it happen?
I don't know, man.
Are we just going to be that thing you had on your
Are we just going to be Michigan fans for the rest of the year? Yes.
Are we going to be the ennui of...
So will the excitement build to Notre Dame level about the team prior to, what, Wisconsin?
No.
I think there's going to... I don't think that Northwestern is a gimme. But
no, they are not a given.
But I don't think beating them is going to make fans.
Northwestern has the Gaz.
No,
they have an awesome.
I hear
defensive end.
Brian.
They have an
all
that.
Brian,
what are we going to do?
You.
What are we going to do about the Gaz?
I understand, and I agree. I think that's that's something to be like. Okay, that's showing something to go there and beat Northwestern. I don't think that'll register with fans.
It'll register with me.
It'll register with me too, but it won't register with fans as much. I don't think you'll see things get back to that level unless and until
they win out four
games. One of those marquee. Mm-hmm. I'm putting air quotes out there. One of those marquee opponents,
and that's going to be Wisconsin.
That's going to be Wisconsin.
So there we go. So that's what we are facing. I think you used to have a character on your blog.
A character?
A character. An otter or something?
Oh, an otter, yeah. The Henri, the otter of ennui.
That's right. And I'm afraid that this season has some...
Oh, yeah, it's got some otter potential.
Some otter potential. But, you know, yeah, we win a few games. We beat Northwestern, who's better than probably most people think, and we...
I don't know about that.
You know, what do you mean?
Yeah, Thorson's terrible.
Yeah,
terrible,
but he was terrible. He was hurt. He wasn't full strength. First-round draft pick, Clayton Thorson.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, guys. That will do it for today's show.
Better than